church. How are we?
We good? Are we wet? Cold? We're here. We're the hungry ones. Amen. And maybe the ones that are not in a tricky road in. So we just greet all of those online in the name of Jesus. But so good to be with you all. Just as Claire said, we could be at home or we could be gathering together and pressing into the Lord together. Amen. So I'm really excited this morning. I believe the Lord has something special for us all. And I wanted to talk about prayer. We're going to take communion as well. And I'm just believing that the Lord is going to move in a mighty way. And can someone say amen? Amen. I thought it was fitting. We've got a time of prayer and fasting coming up in February. So I thought, let's jump into this topic of prayer. This has been something that's been on my heart for a number of months. And I think now's the time to kind of lean in and just, chat around what is prayer. let's dive in. So Lord, we just welcome you here. We thank you that you are already here. We just make ourselves aware of your presence. Holy Spirit, I just ask you this morning that this just wouldn't be just a little talk to tickle our ears or educate our minds, Lord, but you would provoke something in us that we would be burning with a desire and a new hunger for prayer and to be a praying people. In your holy, holy name. Amen. Amen. Jesus quotes Isaiah, and he says in Matthew 20, 21, 13, that he says that my house shall be called a house of prayer, a house of prayer for all nations is what he's referring to in what the prophet Isaiah said. And I think it's, quite important for us to have a look at this is the key distinction that the Lord is saying that his house shall be known for, prayer. Could be my house will be a house of good coffee, or my house will be a house of, great music, or the list could be, we've got all those, Pastor D's. But the key is my house should be called a house of prayer. That tells me that when people look in from the outside to us as the church, the bride, prayer should be something that is a mark of our lives. So I think it's important for us to, let's dive in and see what is prayer? What is it all about? How can we walk in it in a greater measure? Paul speaks in 1 Thessalonians, he says, to pray without ceasing. Without ceasing. And so my mind goes, okay, if prayer is just me with a shopping list of things I want from the Lord, how am I meant to do that without ceasing? Like, I've got needs, but I'm going to probably run out if I'm meant to just unceasingly be asking God for things. Maybe that's not just what prayer is, hey? Maybe it's something larger and greater than that. The word prayer, the definition in the Greek is prosyuke. It's actually used 120 times, over 120 times in the New Testament. Prosyuke. And it's kind of made up of two words. The first is pros or pros, and that means to draw near, to come face to face, to be close. And UK, not United Kingdom, U-E-C-H-E, E-U-C-H-E, UK means to make a vow or a vow to be exchanged for a desire to be revealed. So here we have what the definition of that word prayer is: drawing near, coming face to face, and then a vow being made, desires being revealed, a wish being opened up. So we'll pop up on the screen. Jesus, he had a rhythm of prayer. It was many times in the New Testament that we see that he goes to pray. Here's just nine of them. when it's recorded that he retreats and prays, is the time in the wilderness after he was baptized. Early in the morning, says long before the sun arose, that he wakes up early. Long day of teaching and ministry ahead of him. It's a frequent place for him to retreat amidst the crowds. He was growing in popularity and the crowds would draw, so he would often retreat, go alone to be with his father and pray. He had all-night prayer before appointing his disciples and before delivering the Sermon on the Mount. After the news of John the Baptist's beheading, he went and prayed. Before feeding the 5,000, after the 12 disciples returned from being sent out, he went and prayed. After feeding the 5,000, before walking on water with Peter, he retreated and he prayed. Before healing many, feeding the 4,000, before his arrest and his crucifixion, we see Jesus prayed, and we know that there would have been many, many more times than this. This is just what we've got recorded in the New Testament. So let's think for a second again. If prayer is just limited to God, we're asking you for things. I don't think that Jesus, the Son of God, would simply just, we can leave those up if that's all right, would, you know, in all of these occurrences, be spending an all-night, you know, all-night prayer meeting, early in the morning, all of these times just simply going, God, I need this. God, I need this. God, would you give me this? God, my Father, would you give me this? I'm God incarnate, but I'm still asking, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Now, please hear my heart, because the Lord does tell us to ask, to seek, to knock. It's the Father's goodwill to give his children good gifts. So he desires that we do ask. But then in Matthew, he also says to not be anxious for anything because your Father already knows all of your needs before you have them. So we've got this duality, this contradiction almost of ask, seek, and knock, keep asking, be persistent, ask, ask, ask. And then over here, it's like, don't ask. The Father knows already. So what's going on between the two? I think it's an invitation to the both and of prayer. That it is a space of asking, but it is so much more than that. And I'm stirred because I think this is the key, this is the answer to seeing our nation, our city, our families changed, for true transformation to take place. Is when the church can pray, we can get a true revelation of what prayer is. I've been even just like, Lord, I repent of where I have been prayerless, where I have been limited in my prayer. Or Lord, I repent of where I have been self-centered in my prayer as well, where I've just been too focused on my own little world and my little bubble, yet there's people around me, in need. And I love that the disciples, it's the one thing that they asked Jesus to teach them. Lord, teach us to pray. They could have asked him anything. How did you get those demons out like that? How did you heal that blind man? Like, what's the key phrase that we need to say? How did you do that 40-day fast in the wilderness without food or water or anything? Teach us to pray. Oh, may that be our prayer, church. If we flick over to the next screen, this is from a book I read a little while ago called The Hour That Changed the World by Dick Eastman. And he had felt the Lord kind of speak to him over that scripture where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and he asks his disciples to stay and pray. And he goes away and prays and he comes back and the disciples are fallen asleep. And Jesus says, could you not watch with me just 1 hour? Could you not watch and pray 1 hour? So Dick Eastman, the author of this book, he dedicated his life to spending at least 1 hour in prayer every single day. And diving into the scripture, he kind of pulled apart 12 forms of prayer. And you know, you might think 1 hour of prayer, that's a long time. But with these 12 forms of prayer, if you just split them up into 5 minutes, an hour's done. You might want to take a photo. There's scripture references to all of these. We won't have time to jump into them, but really cool if you look into them. So just really quickly, we've got praise. Praise is us adoring Jesus. It's telling him who he is, about his nature. You are God the healer, you are God the provider. I exalt you, I magnify. It's what we were doing this morning. It's not limited just to a song of praise. It can just be a verbal expression. There's many definitions in the Bible of what praise is. A lot of it actually involves our physical bodies, lifting up the hands, laying down on the floor, waving around. You know, it's this expression of just lifting and magnifying the Lord. So starting off, in the Psalms it says to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So this is kind of our way in. The next one down is waiting. This is like a time of silent surrender, of letting the Lord love you. Psalm 46 verse 10, it says to be still and know that I am God. There's a connection there between being still and having a revelation of who God is. And waiting is such a countercultural thing. I think in our day and age of hurry, 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 fast pace, next, this, God, gimme, gimme, gimme. But to actually stop, it's the most uncomfortable thing. To stop and just go, the world still goes. God's still in control. I don't need to hustle and rush and make things happen. And just to actually allow the love of the Lord to get into your heart, let him adore you, let him love on you. This is such a powerful posture of waiting. The next one down is confession, cleansing the temple of our hearts, repentance. Ouchies. In the scriptures it says, search my heart, know if there be any anxiety, any wicked way within me. Of going, Lord, where has my life, where am I not lining up to the truth of who you say I am? What lies am I believing? Is there any hidden sin that I need to give to you and let your blood cleanse me clean again? That is such an important part. The next one down is scripture prayer. Who knows that this word is alive, it is breathing, it is the testimony of Jesus, it has the power to speak into an atmosphere and to see things shift. I've found it really, a great place to start is to crack open the Psalms and to just turn a psalm into prayer, exactly what Claire was doing this morning, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Thank you, Lord, that your presence, I can dwell there, and that it's your presence I'm in. You are the Most High. I can abide in the shadow. Lord, you are so close. I can tuck in to your presence and I can live here, this place of abiding. This isn't just a temporary thing, but I can stay here. And we turn the word into prayer. I think if there's one thing you're going to take from this morning, I feel like that is such an important key. Reading the scriptures as prayer. The next one down, is this helpful so far? Cool. The next one down is watching. We see a lot in the scriptures of, the cities were fortified, there were big walls, and there were often watchmen on the walls, kind of looking out for potential threats. And so this is this kind of terminology of watching, of being alert, being insightful, being discerning. It's kind of like, Lord, is there any potential areas in my life where there might be room for the enemy to sneak in? Or has there been anything that's coming up that I just need to be aware of, where I just need, your presence in? I've got this job interview next week and that's stressful. And Lord, I'm being alert, I'm being aware, and I know that I need to lean into your strength more, The next one down is intercession. This is prayer for others. Prayer outside of ourselves. This is another one that's really been burning on my heart, for us to be interceding, for praying on behalf of others. There might be family members that don't know the Lord. There might be some colleagues that you're like, oh man, if they just could know the love of Jesus. Who knows, the world's an interesting time. We're living in interesting times. The world's an interesting place at the moment. Intercession, where we just pray on behalf of nations, of our city. Amen. Intercession. Petition. This one's, I feel like I'm just going to, we know what this one is. This is when we're asking of the things we need. And again, I know I've kind of been saying it's not just, it's that. So don't forget, this is still an important part of prayer. The Lord desires to hear what we have need of. But this is where we go, Lord, I'm petitioning you. This is my circumstance. This is my situation. And I give it to you. Thanksgiving, where we just speak our blessings. We thank the Lord for who he is. We thank the Lord for what he's done. And we just give him thanks and appreciation for it all. I think this is really powerful off the back of petition, because we can thank him in spite of the situation that we might be facing. I've got a financial need, Lord, I give that to you. Lord, I thank you that you own the cattle on a thousand hills. I thank you that you've called me to be the head and not the tail. I thank you that I'm above and not beneath. I thank you, I've seen you come through before and I know I'll see you come through again. It's like reorienting ourselves to kind of go, this is the circumstance, but this is my God who's above it all, who's bigger than it all. Amen. Singing, melodic worship and praise. Newsflash, guys, don't have to wait till Sunday morning to jump into this. Doesn't matter what you sound like. It says in the Psalms, make a joyful noise. Doesn't say it has to be on key, or it doesn't say it has to be, you know, whatever. Just to sing a new song to the Lord. That might be a psalm, that might just be like, just, you know, whatever you're praying, but just to actually stir in your heart like a melody of praise, a melody of thanksgiving. He delights to hear that, and it's such a special offering. And I think the beautiful thing is, he desires us to sing, because he sings over us, doesn't he? Zephaniah 3, it says that he sings his songs of love over us. So that's such a beautiful thing. Number 10 is meditation. I feel like the New Age has corrupted this word. You know, in the New Age, meditation is all about emptying out your mind and just becoming like, I clearly have not done it. Are you meant to do that? Meditation is about filling your mind with this, with spiritual theme, with the Word of God. It says in Joshua that to meditate on the Scripture day and night. And often it was in the early church a tradition, and I'm sure lots of people still do this as well, to actually get a phrase of Scripture and to kind of rock back and forth and just say it underneath your breath, repetitively, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And that's actually meditating on the Scriptures, and it's actually helping it to lock into our head in a memorization stance, and also to lock into our heart and our spirit till it becomes right in the depth of us and becomes a part of who we are, of that meditation. So that's redeemed meditation. If there's any like emptying minds and like, you know, welcoming your dead dog to talk to you, no, turn around, run away. We good with that one? Listening is where we just, it's similar but slightly different to the waiting and the watching. And listening is where we just ask the Lord for spiritual instruction. Lord, how do you see me today? Lord, what do I need to put my hand to? Who in my day that I might see might need some prayer? Lord, what do I need to give my finances to this week? So just asking and then listening for the Lord to kind of give you direction and guidance on what is on his heart. And praise, adoring him again. Now, the awesome thing is, this is meant to be Holy Spirit-led. It is meant to be fueled with the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit, because if we just kind of go, cool, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, done, cool, see you later, next, we will just get straight back into religion and we'll lose any sense of sensitivity to the Lord. There might be times where you're praying and you just can't stop praising, and half an hour goes by and the Lord has done a marvelous work in your heart. That's prayer. There might be times when you're on the way to work and you rocked up 5 minutes early, so you're sitting in the car and you turn the engine off and you just sit and wait and just let the Lord love on you. Thank you, Lord, that you love me, that your son died on that cross for me. That's prayer. It might be a time of just like, Lord, I need you. I repent of this. I've been struggling with that. That's prayer. So these are just different forms. These are just different facets of prayer. But each one on their own is prayer. Each of them combined is prayer. So I encourage you, take a photo of that and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you in these different forms. And have a confidence and assurance that this is all prayer. Remember, prayer is drawing near, coming face to face, and for a vow to be expressed, desires to be revealed. I said earlier that the one thing that the disciples asked of the Lord to teach them was to pray. So if we want to turn over to Luke chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them," I know we're all familiar with this, "'is our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" Some translations go on to say, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen." So I kind of dissected this with just some of those facets that we were looking at, some of the different forms, and we can see there's a number of them there. I think the second word is such an important part of this prayer as well, is the relationship dynamic, that he is our Father, that we are his children. So we are coming to him not as foreigners, not as strangers, not as sinners, but as children. Beloved children at that. And we just begin with praising him. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We go straight into intercession here. And that your kingdom come, your will be done. I love too the fact that, you know, there's often the times that Jesus was praying in the scriptures, we can't see what he said. But there's that instance in the Garden of Gethsemane where we do get a glimpse into what the Lord was praying. And he says, "Father, if this is, take this cup, unless if this is your will not mine. Your kingdom come, your will be done." It's a similar thought there. And if we can get a revelation of that in our heart, of not my will, not my kingdom, not my thing. I know I've been there. It's like, "Lord, this is, I'm doing this. You just need to bless it because you love me, right? So just bless this thing I'm doing." But it's no, no, no. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And there's this idea of co-laboring and partnering with the Lord because he's brought us into this story. He's brought us into the picture because of what took place on the cross. That his will being done involves you and I. His will being done actually involves you and I. His kingdom coming, we are a part, we have a part to play in that. Amen? We have a part to play in that. You know, it's easy for us to just go, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done out there, do it. I'm just going to stay here. But Lord, just have your way. Minister to those people. There's that need over there. Feed the hungry. Those people need saving. Just do it, Lord, your kingdom come. I'm just nice and comfy here." But what is the example that Jesus gives us? Death on the cross, burial and resurrection. Being poured out, being completely given. And so this is the prayer that we can offer the Lord, this side of the cross, is to say, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done. And we keep that posture and we keep coming into a time of prayer and we keep coming in close and we keep offering the scriptures and we keep keeping a right heart until his will and his desires start to infuse into our hearts, into the things that break, you know, until the things that break his heart start to break our heart, until we start to get gripped with a burden for those around us, that we would say, I'm not satisfied with just going through the motions and having my comfortable life and just sitting on my chair and waiting till the skies rip open, but that we would go, Lord, here I am, your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm giving my life to this thing because I believe that you are the king, that you are the answer, that you are the solution to every single problem in this world. Amen? We can pray differently this side of the cross. We can thank him for his blood that was shed, which we're going to do in a moment when we have communion. Maybe, babe, if you want to join on the keys. We can thank him for his body that was broken. We can thank him that he tore that veil that gives us direct access, that we can even do this thing called prayer in such a way that we've been talking about and that we've experienced this face-to-face, this closeness, this thing of proximity. The fact that we can actually be still and hear his voice. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross, for making that possible. I hope this has been helpful so far. But I'm praying more than helpful. I'm praying that there's something stirring in your heart. This guy, Lord, oh, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. Teach me to pray your will. You've positioned me. You've placed me on the earth for this time, for this reason. You've equipped me with skills. You've put people in my world. Teach me to pray that I may see signs and wonders left and right all around me. I want to honor my brother Andreas. He sent me a video yesterday going to get his tires fixed and felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to pray for the guy that served him. The man broke down in tears and was saying how he felt free and redeemed and light like he'd never felt before. That's the Lord's kingdom coming and that's his will being done. May it be said of us that there would be testimony after testimony after testimony, just like that and more, where it's just that simple posture of obedience and we've been cultivating a lifestyle of prayer without ceasing throughout the day, where as we look out, we see Jesus in every person that we see and that we can hear his whisper. And we can lean in and we can say, yes, I'll share your love. I'll pay for that person's fuel, whatever it might be. This is the matter of life and death, isn't it? It's a matter of life and death, really, isn't it? When we think about it, this life is but a vapor and there is eternity ahead of us. I think it's fitting that we go into a time of communion this morning. So if you can grab your hole in one, if you don't have one, could you give us a wave? And you can go ahead and stand. I I really sense the Lord here with us this morning. Let's make 2026 a year that's marked by prayer, hey? Paul speaks to the Corinthians about a proper way and an improper way to receive communion. And the people taking it incorrectly and they were getting sick and dying. It's pretty scary. Which to me tells me that the opposite is true. That when we receive Holy Communion in a proper way, with reverence, with focus on Jesus, that there is healing, that there is life. Amen. So I'm believing this morning for those here, for those watching as well, that as we partake, that there would actually be some healings taking place here in the room and at the homes and hearts being set free. I just want to share a couple of scriptures as you just keep your attention on the Lord. We know as the Israelites came out of Egypt after the plagues, just before that final plague, the Lord had instructed Moses to tell them, thank you, to put the lamb's blood across the door. They took the blood of an innocent lamb, put it across their doorposts. And it says in Psalm 105 that as he brought them out with silver and gold, that there was none feeble among the tribes. It's a couple of million people walking out from their homes that are covered by the blood, without illness, without it so much as a limp. What a miraculous thing. This is available for us as we live a life that's covered by the blood, the body of Jesus, amen. So if we can hold the wafer in our hands, and why don't we just spend the next couple of minutes thanking the Lord for his body that was broken and that we can have fullness of health. Oh, precious Jesus, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for breaking the bread of your body like we were singing this morning. That yours was broken, that we can receive fullness of health, that ours can be restored. So Lord, we just thank you that as we enter this covenant through your body and blood, that we can step into this place of fullness of health. We thank you, Jesus. It couldn't have been done by any other way. And there is only one who could have satisfied this, and that is you, Jesus. So we thank you. Come on, church, can we just thank him? Just put thanksgiving on your lips this morning. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that one of your names is Jehovah Rapha. You are the God who heals. It is in your nature. And we are partakers of this, Lord. We come in, we graft, we are grafted in. And we say thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you, Jesus. And we declare sickness is gone. Infirmity is gone. Mental health struggles, they are gone. That there is freedom in body, in mind, in soul for us this morning. And every day, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, that's beautiful, church. Keep going. I feel like there's just freedom even coming as we're just lifting up thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we speak the name of Jesus over every sickness, over every disease, over everything that is not in the fullness of that which you've paid for, that which you've designed. We say, Jesus Christ over every body, Jesus Christ over every mind, Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name, spotless lamb that was slain. Why don't we partake of the bread? If we take the cup, Leviticus 17:11. It's where the Lord is telling Moses a number of instructions and sacrifices and things like this. And it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And check this out, this might sound familiar. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. It's only by the blood of Jesus. It is only by the blood of Jesus, amen, that we can be restored to oneness with Jesus, to oneness with God. There's freedom for every heart here this morning. He sees you as righteous. He sees you as loved. He sees you as clean. He paid a high price, the highest price. It was only by the blood of the Lamb that declared a better word. Our very life source is found in the blood of Jesus, amen. So why don't we just thank him for his blood that was spilled, that ushered in a new covenant, that ushered in the new and living way. Lord, we say thank you. We honor you, Jesus, for shedding that innocent blood, for spilling it, for washing us clean. Lord, you make us white as snow. Your blood doesn't just cover. It doesn't just distract. It doesn't just temporarily wash. But it washes us clean. It makes us white as snow, that, so that there is no trace of anything prior. So we say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood that speaks a better word. I was only by your blood. Wash us clean this morning. You can drink when you're ready. Worship team, you can come and join. We've got a little bit of time, and I'd love us to just lean in a little bit more, because I really feel the Lord is here. And I want to activate us in some of the things that we've been talking about this morning. So just for the next few moments, can we just, if you can pray in tongues, can you just start to pray in tongues? Don't be shy. This is church. Why don't you just begin to pray in tongues? If you can't, even if you just speak the name of Jesus, and we just even declare that the Lord would start to baptize you right now in his Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I've been praying that with this weather, that so it is in the natural, it would be in the spiritual, that there'll be the fresh wind of his Spirit that would blow in. So can we just start to lift up the name of Jesus? Can we start to, speak in that heavenly language? That the wind of his Spirit would blow through, it would displace what is old, what is broken, what is missing, and it would make way for the new. And that the waters that are coming down would be just like a fresh downpour of his glory and of his presence and of his Spirit. Jesus, so we just say, come, come, Lord Jesus, come and have your way. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you. We love you. We've just got a few minutes. You can watch or you can join in. Just lift up his name. Say the name of Jesus. Lord, we glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you, Lord. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. Come and have your way. If you feel the Lord stirring on your heart like that burden for prayer, can you just lift up your hand and wave? If you just feel the Lord's putting a burden on your heart, yes, Lord, grip us with a burden for the people of Mackay. Grip us to pray. Let us dig deep. Let us be a people that would know how to contend for things, how to posture ourselves as a praying people. Lord, that we would be known as a house of prayer for all nations. Lord, let this not stop here, but let it go out. Let us see friends, families, colleagues, families, workplaces delivered and set free. Let us see many come into your house, come into right standing relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, this is a matter of life and death. We are looking for towards eternity. Lord, we just say, here we are, send us. Send us as your bride. Send us. Come on, church, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. I even believe that the Lord might be putting people on your hearts right now. And why don't you just start to lift them up and just speak the name of Jesus over them. Speak the name of Jesus over that person, that circumstance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the wind of your Spirit. The wind of your Spirit to blow on through, Lord. To sweep through our lives. Sweep through our midst, Lord. Oh, we're longing for your kingdom to come and for your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're here and you have a specific prayer need as well, while we're in this atmosphere of faith and of prayer, it might be a physical need, it might be salvation, it might be a family member, whatever it is, we'd like to just open up the altar and have you come down in faith. Our prayer team would love to pray with you. So if that might be any kind of physical ailments, just come on down.